Yeah, at that time of the morning, where we join our very own Member of Parliament, Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam. He's the leader of the NFP. Ahmad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me, how are you doing this fine, beautiful morning?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, mashallah, beautiful day in the city of Itegwini. And I think some good news is that some of the beaches have now been reopened. But you know, every other week those beaches have to be closed as a result of the high levels of E. coli in the water. But very importantly, Brother Shafat, that the poor delivery of services, the crumbling infrastructure in the Itegwini municipality is giving rise to the poor quality of water. You know, the sewage system, the sanitation, entire infrastructure is collapsing. As a result, this is flowing directly into the beach. And this is what's causing some of the mayhem that you have in the area. But just not water and sanitation problems in Itegwini. You know the roads, you know the cities, you know the grass, everything. Everything is a problem as far as this is concerned. Load shedding countrywide, gone to stage 4 till Monday afternoon. So yeah, you know, it's as far as the delivery of services, and coincidentally the president now, after 28 years later, has now realized something that I have been highlighting, you know, year in and year out in almost every debate, particularly on finance debates, is the levels of corruption at local government level. But even though he raises concern that state capture really is in local government, he's not willing to do anything about it. And that is why I have repeatedly requested that you provide the people in those local communities in the, where these municipalities are, a comprehensive report on a monthly basis on all the procurement that has been awarded, to who they've been awarded, who the directors are, what is the value of those contracts, how much you're paying per item, and you'll be shocked at what you're going to find. Are they willing to do that? I can't see them doing that. If you remember, the president said they are beneficiaries of unlawful money. So yes, Minister Mkele, Minister of Police, is now saying that it's not the foreign nationals that are a problem to him, but more importantly, South Africans. 10,000 rapes were committed by South African men in the last quarter of the financial year. Now, very sad news, Brother Shafat, of Khalid Parker, a young businessman in Western Cape, Cape Town, was gunned down mercilessly by some that were either attempting to kidnap him by the looks of it. And a very, very sad loss. His father is a member of the Al-Quds Masjid in Gatesville. A lot of work, you know, they do in the community. But what a waste of life, you know, and these merciless criminals think nothing of it in taking an innocent life. And I can see at the masajid that on Friday, Juma'ah lecture, the imam has called for the community, the Ummah, to get together and put in measures and to fight this, because it's not just restricted in South Africa, to South Africa, where members of the Ummah are being, you know, harassed and intimidated, threatened and losing their life, but it's a worldwide phenomenon. So yes, he's raising concerns about that and believes that something must be done about it. Well, your Home Affairs, once again, 300 rand, bribe a man, takes the Home Affairs officials and ends up for 4 years in prison. I think it's appropriate sentence, because it's not the amount of money that is, but look at the significant damage you would have done by stamping and extending people's unlawful presence or contracts in the extension of their permits and things in the country. So he got a 4 year sentence for 300 rand. That is what it cost him, his job and 4 years of his life and things, and he'll never get employed. So yeah, these are just some of the things. Of course, the Western Cape High Court has set aside the suspension of the president on the public protector. However, you know, based on constitutional requirements, she's not going to be able to go back into a position until the constitutional court pronounces on that. Yeah, these are just some of the news making headlines.
Yeah, but you talk about the crime factor being high and, you know, innocent people losing their lives. You remember when the insurrection took place, and before that, people lived in gated communities, people put boom gates and so forth, and the government got very irritated with people that were protecting themselves. They said, oh, no, legally and constitutionally, you shouldn't put boom gates, and you shouldn't be doing this, and you can't, you know, you can't keep people out of your territory and your area. But that was very, maybe in hindsight, the government made a wrong call. Your thoughts on that, Ahmed?
Brother Shepherd, I want to reiterate my point. I say to our brothers and sisters and the community at large, you have to protect yourselves. Government has failed. Yes, government can come up and make all these kinds of statements and put restrictions and things, but they are not there to be able to protect you. They're not creating a conducive environment for you to live in a safe and secure community. So it is up to you now to start protecting yourself, because really, let us admit it, we are in a state of lawlessness. The criminal justice system has failed, the law, police themselves, and the minister, like he's correctly alluded to, have not got what it takes to deal with the problem, because there is various contributing factors to where we are. So yes, they can come and tell you, don't put this, they don't want you in gated complexes, and they don't want this boom gates and things like that. How else are you going to protect yourself? How else are you going to protect the community? If you saw it rightfully so, during the interaction in July, which you can anticipate another one coming soon, we do not have the capacity to deal with this. You can look at our defense force. Half their vehicles alone are standing there without even tires and batteries. So really, the management of these very important departments are in crisis in any case. So you can't rely on them. And if you look at the things like kidnapping and things, Brother Shepherd, it's on the rise. These people are there. They're coming right into your communities, right into your schools, right into your home, and outside your driveway. So where is the protection you got? And what is worse, Brother Shepherd, you've got the Defence Force, you've got the South African Police Services, you've got Metro Police and law enforcement in many metros and other areas. You've got all these tons of security companies and agencies and everybody else. Yet you are not safe and secure. So I think it's time for people like Paget to come up into the open and things. We need to start protecting ourselves, because if this is what it is today, and let us be honest about it, it's been getting progressively worse over a period of time. What do you think life is going to be in 10 or 20 years for the next generation that's coming up? So I think, and I'm not asking people to take the laws into their own hands, but if you have to save your family and protect your family, then you have to do what you have to do. That's what you have to do.
During the insurrection, we also had the traffic department. You remember that they were telling people, yeah, no, take away all your roads that you blocked, or the exits that you blocked. And they were actually siding with the criminals. I mean, that was a very bold statement made. And then you had Becky Clare trying to instigate, or trying to, create a friction between Indians and blacks and so forth. Many of his statements that were made by him subsequently proved to be false. Why haven't they been taken to, why aren't they being accountable for what they have done? And especially those officers that were so blatant and so rudely, insensitive to the plight of ordinary residents. Your thoughts, Ahmed?
Well, yes, Minister made reckless statements, there's no doubt about it. And what happened long months later, he then came up and he's apologized. Well, he hasn't really apologized, but he said it had nothing to do with racism. But look at the damage that he has done. Look at the hatred that he's gone. He played into the hands of some of them who are playing the race game in South Africa. That is exactly what he has done. But why did he do that, Brother Shepherd? He did it because he was trying to protect the image and reputation of the South African Police Service, who don't have one right now. He was trying to protect the inefficiency of his department to protect our people. So that is where the problem was. But look at the damage that his statement has done. Look at the hate speech that continued thereafter. At one stage, people were scared and afraid to walk on the streets because they thought they were going to become a target because of this the entire insurrection became a racism issue. And all these people were doing, Brother Shepherd, is trying to protect their own communities. Can you imagine if they didn't do that? Can you imagine if some of these people, given that some of the major businesses, Brother Shepherd, have closed down, shut office. Look at the number of businesses, even among the gangs, closing 10 stores. Right? Look at the businesses and the number of jobs that you have lost as a result of that. Can you imagine if others did not do anything? Like even the people in Phoenix, can you imagine if they did not protect their communities? What would have happened to the very mall, little mall that they got there where they rely on going and getting their stuff? You understand? All that would have been looted. So they did what they have to do best. The traffic officers, yes, did exactly the same thing. And these people, even the Metro Police, Brother Shepherd, I'm told they were so badly divided that the black officers were insulting and abusing the Indian officers. It's your brothers and things that killed our people. These are the statements they were making. So it did a lot of damage. Yes, we do understand there is bylaws, but then you must be consistent in applying the Boyer bylaws. You also have a responsibility for the rates and taxes that people pay to protect them. And as a government, you have failed to protect them. All innocent people, 98% of the people that might have died, they were innocent people, had nothing to do with this interact, with any acts of criminality. They were just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Yeah, Ahmed, then you found the minorities. I mean, you're talking about the Indians, the whites and the coloreds. Those that were ANC supporters suddenly said, no, enough is enough. And DA jumped onto the bandwagon, used the insurrection for their gains. And many have said now perhaps they haven't delivered to optimum because there is a power play with ANC and, the ANC in cahoots with the EFF are playing roadblock games with the DA. How true is that, Ahmed?
Yeah, let me tell you, some of them use the insurrection to try and popularize themselves and jump on the bandwagon, particularly taking into consideration that the black make up the majority. You understand, they were not even willing to see reason as to exactly what is going on. When you want to become relevant, you say whatever the people want to hear, and that's the problem you got. Now, yes, the DA, I must admit, came to the defense of particularly the people in Phoenix and things like that, because they felt that then, and they know and understand in any case that the law enforcement was not up to scratch. They were not able to protect the people, and that people were doing what they needed to do to protect themselves. However, yes, it did work out for them in terms of politics. They did gain. But remember, Brother Shepherd, the problem we've got various contributing factors to where we are. You can go into Itegwini municipality, I'll give you a good example. If you come back out as a satisfied customer, I will shave my head bald for you. That's how bad it is. You go there, people got a don't care them attitude. This Ubuntu we talk about doesn't exist, So, you have serious problems in terms of delivery of services. If you look at the amount of the budget allocated not only from national government, but the revenue that some of them generate from your rates and taxes. Is it being put to good use? No. If you look at the levels of corruption, you're picking it up every other day. You look at the abuse of state resources, the vehicles, where they are during the day, whether they are supposed to be used for the purpose they intended, or people are using them to go and pick up their children from school and do all kinds of things. Exactly with the law enforcement, that's why you don't find the vehicle half the time. So there's so many contributing factors. But the problem is, as if you continue catered deployment, Brother Shepherd, catered deployment, you will never solve this problem. Like I said, the President reiterated the issue of state capture, which I have been raising again and again for 8 years at least. And they think it's not important. They were running away from it. But will he do something about it? Now, I have requested last year in September, October, a comprehensive list of KZN. I said, start. They give me a list of all the tenders that were awarded in the last 3 years, who they were, names of the companies, the directors, the value of the contract, and the price per item, because that's where you really find the corruption, where you don't get value for money. It hasn't come up to today. They have not given you that report. Will they put measures in place to ensure that these things, that you get value for money and there's no corruption? No, I want to be honest with you. There was a fight going on the other day. And what was the fight about? It was one man who's a contractor who deals with tenders only. And the other one was on the other side was the mayor. And he was fighting with this mayor because he said that they're not getting no tenders and nothing. That's what the fight was actually all about, because the mayor is giving it to somebody else, right? So it's wrong when he gives it to somebody else. It's only right if he gives it to him. And he's fighting about it, and the mayor's fighting back about it. You can see exactly what is going on. It's exactly the same thing I want to tell you, Brother Shepherd. If you take the N3, Ladysmith Escort, you find a lot of these traffic officials then. Do you know they almost physically fight in the mornings? Do you know why they fight? Who's going to get the camera? Because whoever gets the camera to watch the traffic violations, the speed limit, make the money for the day. This is how serious the corruption is.
Yeah, I mean, then you know, Barbara Hogan, when she asked the government, and she said, when will you stop this looting? When you stop all this money taking and all? And they blatantly told her, it's our time to eat. And you can see they're literally eating. You can see physically how big the bellies have gone, Ahmed.
Yeah, it is very unfortunate when they believe that it's time for them to loot. And then the very same people are going to come out there, Brother Shepherd. The very same people are going to come out there and go out there and complain and say, no, we're not getting the delivery of services. But they are allowing people to loot 17,500. That's the number of millionaires and multi-millionaires you've created in the black community in the last couple of years through your BEE, right? Your preferential procurement system, okay? And what is it? How much have they put back into the economy? Nothing. Nothing. Hardly anything. So that's the problem you're sitting on. So on the one hand, you go out there. And let me tell you, voters are still going to come back again and vote for the very same people, and they're going to come back and protest again, but they're going to go back and vote.
Yeah, and the sad part is that they're going to go for the soft targets, Ahmed, the soft targets. And we look at Jacob Zuma's legal and financial woes go from, I'll have to sell my socks to even fight my cases. What's gone with Jay-Z? I thought he had Gaddafi's millions, all that gold stashed in Cannes. Seems like, hey, JT's got nothing, Ahmed.
You know, Brother Shepherd, when you're doing something wrong, you must expect there to be repercussions at some stage. There must be implications. You know, my father used to always say, and you know, I think it was a very common word used among our people, Brother Shepherd, and I think you've got to know what I'm talking about. They used to say, 10 days rogue must get caught one day. So don't these people ever prepare for that day when they think if they're doing what they're doing, they must come back to bite them at some stage. It has to come back to bite them. And I don't know, from my understanding is that, you know, there are a lot of allegations of illicit financial flows where monies are stashed in Dubai and everywhere else. So where is all these monies, or do we have to, you know, plead poverty to get people to know that we really don't have anything at all? But the money is still coming, because who's paying for all these legal teams and all legal advisors and busing people and everything? So there are lots and lots of people behind them. Well, if you look at the deputy mayor of Itekwini in any case, he was once the funder of the former president Jacob Zuma. Well, now he's the deputy mayor, and he's also in charge of infrastructure and things, the biggest budget. He's got that one too. So, your guess is good as mine, where the money is going to be coming from, you know, if any time former President Jacob Zuma runs into trouble, I think there will be people out there to salvage the situation and come to his rescue.
Qasim says, Assalamu alaikum, Shafaat and Ahmed Mansoor Sheikh Imam. I'm already enjoying the program. I want to talk about looting and the Guptas and many other things. Well, the mother of all looters has recently passed away. The Guptas are small change. I want Ahmed's comments on that. Shouldn't she be returning, or shouldn't the diamonds be returned back to South Africa and the Kohinoor given back to India? How do you respond to Qasim?
Well, there's two ways of looking at it. Yes, indeed, we cannot, no matter how much we try, run away from the fact that the British, under the Queen, reigning Queen who just passed away, have, you know, committed a lot of atrocities worldwide. You know, they survived. They are who they are as a result of, you know, ill-gotten means, stealing away from very, very many, many people and countries, causing mayhem and chaos all over the world. There is no doubt about it. But I guess, Brother Shepherd, at the same time, we have been brought up, we have, it's cultural, it's traditional, it's everything, that when somebody dies, you don't say much bad about them. You try and limit it. But the fact of the matter is this, that people that will be mourning will be people that have extensively benefited from the crimes committed by the British under the Queen Mother, and she did very nothing, absolutely nothing to stop that. Yes, so that is why you're getting mixed reactions from all over the world. Some are sympathetic, but also raising concerns about their conduct and what they have done and the chaos they've caused. Of course, others are just sympathetic because they can't see beyond their noses. You know, it's just they are who they are. And they believe in the superiority of race and whatever it is. But in a nutshell, Queen Mother is gone. Prince Charles is now the king, I'm told. Right? So how long, I don't know. But yes, if there was one person that would have been today the ideal person to be is Princess Diana, because I think she was really something else. She was one of those that sympathized with the people. She's done a lot of community work activities. She's had all over the world. Her death was really a great loss, actually. No doubt about it. But I'm also told that, Brother Shepherd, that Prince Charles, who is now King Charles, is more aligned to the Islamic faith than the Christian faith. To what extent, I don't know. But that is what, many reports are indicating.
Yeah, and it was also alleged that Diana read the Kalima, and she was in Egypt with a certain Mufti and all that, Allahu Alam, and whatever happened, as you said, Prince Charles, some of his biggest donors have been the Arabs, I mean, for his charities and all that. He used to get billions, not millions, but billions of dollars from them. Finally, Ahmad, before we end off, we have about 2 minutes to go. Dlamini Zuma confirms that she will challenge Ramaphosa. Your quick thoughts?
Well, let me tell you, she's quite an articulate woman, even though, some may argue about her age. She's very cool, calm, collective, and she thinks before she talks. Yeah, there's no doubt about it, but I want to tell you that anybody contesting against Cyril Ramaphosa, and if they are in a divided camp themselves, are not going to succeed. I think Mpumalanga has just indicated their backing Cyril and Lamola for deputy. Of course, she'll probably get KZN and some other provinces, but whether it would be enough, the only difference might be that if President Ramaphosa is forced to step aside based on the serious allegations before him, which I can tell you he's going to find difficulty overcoming, then it might open it up a little bit more. However, that doesn't stop the Cyril Ramaphosa camp from still putting in somebody else, and those sympathetic to the CR camp will go out there to go and defend Cyril Ramaphosa, while the others will go to go and defend President Jacob Zuma. So in other words, what I'm saying, both the teams have got their work cut out. Whoever is going to go there is going to both go and defend and protect those that have serious allegations of corruption and things against them. So their job is primarily to go out there and protect their leaders, both implicated in high levels of corruption and all those stuff. So you can see they're not there now to go and take South Africa home. They got a specific duty. Yeah.
You know, Ahmad, I looked at Cyril Ramaphosa. He openly backed the new king, and he told him, I recognize you as a legitimate king. To have the king, he told him, we got an alliance here. You tell your subjects to vote for me. Your thoughts?
Well, that is why, people do something with what they want to get in return, Barisha. This is the thing. But I want to also tell you, yes, in order for him to do that, he would have won the respect of those aligned to King Mishizulu. And remember that some of them are also aligned to President Jacob Zuma. So for the least, he would have split them and got some support which can help. At the same time, You know, he's also got support in President Cyril Ramaphosa in other provinces. I think he would have been the problem you're sitting with, even if he goes, who he is going to replace him, that's the difficulty you have. But as far as the Zulu Kingdom is concerned, there are those that support the IFP president. There are those who support, and remember Jacob Zuma took away a lot of the support from the IFP when he became president. It's KZN that he split them and took away all that support. So President Ramaphosa is trying to take a little of that away as well. And he needed to do that to maintain also the support that the ANC needs from KwaZulu-Natal and from the king in order to survive and remain relevant in politics in South Africa.
Absolutely. Ahmed, your parting words before I let you go?
Well, Brother Shafat, you know, I repeatedly talk about the concerns about crime and things like that, but you can see it's really getting out of hand. So my message particularly to all our people, a very important thing, be very careful about social media. You know, when you're advertising where your children go to, which school they go to, when you're advertising what cars you are driving, what homes you are living with, you know, and things like that, then you become an easy target, because this is how these people also follow you. They watch all your moves. They know who's got what. So the lifestyle that you're leading and you start advertising it, then you become the target of these criminals. So, you know, just try and cut down with that. You've gone to the stage where you can't even advertise your family on social media because you don't know who has got good intention and who hasn't. So I just thought I must just share that with our people, that be careful that through social media you might be risking and putting your lives and the lives of your loved ones in danger.
Lovely, wise advice from a wise man. Ahmed, you have a mashallah beautiful week ahead. Talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.